clay pots on pedestals can be yours. And I think the price is right. Well, as we get into the program this week and you find out about this clay pots on pedestals and how illustrative it is of the state of man in this eon, you're going to want to pay $1,500 for this masterpiece. It's $1,500. I think that's reasonable. You can go see this painting at the Galleria in Cleveland, Ohio. It is there through August the 7th. If you're listening to the CD in the year 2011, you missed it. I'm sorry. And it's probably been long sold. But as I speak, you still have a chance to buy this great work of art. Oh, I'm sorry, I just ran up the steps. I had to go get my Bible out of the car. And I got about 25 or 35 or 45 steps coming up to this place there. I am in shape, really, but it's just a sudden shock. All right, anyway, we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 18. Calm down now. We're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 8. We are going to the potter's house. This was not my idea. It wasn't even Jeremiah's idea. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from Yahweh. I'm going to be reading from the Concordant Version of the Old Testament. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from Yahweh, saying, "Rise and go down to the house of the potter, and there I shall announce to you my words." Jeremiah is sitting in his own house, I don't know, reading, talking to a friend, sleeping, taking a nap. The word of the Lord came. The potter's house was an actual place. He actually went down into a valley, down to the potter's house to watch him, and God was going to announce what he, well, he didn't even, for all he knew, God wanted to go down and kill the potter. He said, "I'll tell you when you get there why I'm sending you." No, it's not to kill the potter, don't worry. But God had a plan for him. Significant, go down to the house of the potter. In order to learn the lesson that is going to be taught here, we need to be humbled. I mean, we need to be humbled. If you have not been on your face before God, you're not ready for this. I was at a Bible study over the weekend, and my wife was giving a testimony, and she was saying, she was bringing to mind a hymn, "On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand." And she was telling the people there how God had to become everything in her life. There were still things standing in the way of her and God, she felt, in her own mind. Other people might look at her and say, "Oh, you're a paragon of spirituality, Melody," but she knows who she is. And she said, "There were things standing in the way, and I had to come to the place where God was my rock. Christ was my rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand." But she said, "You know, I can't even stand on that rock. I'm on that rock on my face, with my face to the rock. That's where I am. That's the only place I can be before God, with my face down before Him." And when your plans in this life get screwed up, when you're disappointed, when your hopes are dashed, it's not that God likes to dash hopes. It's that He is taking away our confidence in ourselves, and He's putting our confidence on Him. He brings us to a place where the world disappoints us. You know, you have high hopes for the world. You hope the world can give you what you want, and what a disappointing day when you find out it can't. That's Christ's place. And Job had to come to that, for sure. And Jeremiah had to come to it. We all need to go down to the potter's house. You know, in Scripture, you went up to Jerusalem. You go down to the potter's house. Up to Jerusalem, down to the potter's house. Little side issue here. I'm sure it'll be interesting to you. You know, in Scripture, going from east to west is always very spiritual, but going from west to east is not. It's true. Adam and Eve were banished from the Garden of Eden, and they went to the east of Eden. They went to the east, and they were driven eastward. That was the bad direction. But you know, the temple was laid out that you went from east to west when you progressed from the various places, the outer temple, the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. You went from east to west. None of these words occur by accident. Jeremiah went down to the house of the potter, and behold, he was making a work on the wheelstones. Yet the vessel which he was making, Jeremiah's watching this, this really happened. Yet the vessel which the potter was making with clay was ruined in the hand of the potter, and he turned back and made it into another vessel, just as it seemed upright in the eyes of the potter to make. Then the word of Yahweh came to me. Inspiration, whisper, small inner voice, the quiet voice within that said, "Can I not do to you, house of Israel, as this potter? Averring is Yahweh, behold, like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, house of Israel." The vessel is no sooner made than it is ruined in the hand of the potter. As I speak to you, there is turmoil in Israel. Cannot I do to you, O house of Israel, as this potter? Jeremiah came down the hill from where he lived, knocked on the door of the house of the potter. "I have to watch you today." The potter brings out a lump of clay, puts it on the wheel. Jeremiah takes a seat, pulls up a wicker chair, sits there and watches the potter. He's making a work. Behold, he was making a work on the wheelstones. Yet the vessel which he was making with clay was ruined in the hand of the potter. He turned it back and made it into another vessel, just as it seemed upright in the eyes of the potter to make. Now this potter may have, in his career, done everything right the first time. He might have said, "I don't understand what's happening here, sorry. This thing that I'm making, for whatever reason, he smashed it. It wasn't pleasant to him." And that was what Jeremiah was supposed to see. That was Israel. And Israel had stumbled. She had become a reproach, and she was doing all the wrong things. It's still happening today. But the lesson was that the vessel was marred in the hands of the potter, never left the potter's hands. God does what he will with Israel, and as we're going to see in Romans chapter 9, Paul expands this and applies it not only to Israel, but to any vessel made of flesh. The clay equals the flesh. You see, that's the analogy here. The clay equals the flesh. God can do what he will with all flesh, with both vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. The potter never takes his hands off the wheel, off the clay. He turned back and made it into another vessel. "Can I not do to you, house of Israel, as this potter?" And God is saying to us today, "Can I not do to you personally, can I not do to you what I will? Are you not clay in the hand of the potter?" Tomorrow I'm going to look at some more things here. I'm going to give you a really handy-dandy Hebrew word, and then we're going to take off into Romans chapter 9, look at the applications there, and, well, you're going to see as we go on this week the significance of Denise Ivy Telep's masterpiece that you are looking at now. You don't want to miss it tomorrow or the rest of the week, so I hope you're here. Believe in God, no matter what the clergy tell you. I'm Martin Zendrick.